Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 25th of January, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Yeah, still a nervous tone in stock markets, although the percentage declines have decreased. But mostly some small losses in the Asian markets. And ditto in the European markets, which had showed some modest gains earlier in the day, but gave those up by the close. Wall Street closed with quite modest gains of under 0.5%. In the long-dated government bond prices category, it was also a quiet day. Slightly higher in the UK gilts, very slightly weaker in the US treasuries. And the US dollar, also quiet, eased a little bit. And precious metals, after the sharp selling that that we had seen on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, although gold had sort of lost downside momentum on Friday, but we had modest modest gains in here today. Gold is currently up $5 at 1098.25. Silver up 22, platinum up 8. So modest gains here. The industrial metals were mixed. Copper up, nickel down, lead down, maybe a few more down than up. And in the other industrial commodities, I see crude oil had bounced, got down to 74.06. That's lost at 75.24. And sugar, which has been such a powerhouse recently, was up again today. Okay. So what's going on here generally? Well, as far as global stock markets are concerned, it's a nervous environment right now. This is partly explained by the a reaction or consolidation of strong gains that we saw towards year-end and in the first week and a bit of January. And those gains are now mostly retraced and more. The selling can also be partly explained by a general dissatisfaction with some of the political moves that are taking place. This is more or less inevitable, but doesn't mean that it is going to be any less acrimonious. Wall Street's in an ugly mood, so is the city, really over the businesses, over the bonuses rather, and the uncertainty over bank earnings going forward. Now, this changed mindset has obviously checked the upward trends for global stock markets for at least the short term. And we have also seen the early stages of what looked like some upside failures, where breakouts have not been sustained, breakouts from large trading ranges. And you may recall me mentioning from time to time in the some of the broadcasts late last year and at the beginning of this year that it was important that breakouts from large trading ranges be maintained, because they occur, of course, when there is a standoff, a stalemate between supply and demand. If supply and demand are in more or less equal balance, then you're going to get a sideways trading range in the market. It takes a supply imbalance to cause a strong move on the upside, and a demand imbalance for markets to fall back quite sharply. So the scales that were in favor of a demand-driven environment, really since July of last year, right on into the second week of January, have now been replaced by an environment where we see supply temporarily having the upper hand. And it's made people nervous, understandably. It's made me more nervous than I was previously, as far as the market outlook is concerned. But what are the possibilities? One is that we get a quick recovery and push back up to higher levels. If that's to happen, I think Wall Street would actually be at the forefront because it shows less technical damage than some of the other stock markets. No stock market shows extensive technical damage, but some of them have eroded support, and Wall Street is not among them. Some of them show either flat to slightly declining highs within ranging patterns, but again, Wall Street is not among them. So in terms of the leash effect, while it's slightly negative from Wall Street, it's certainly not heavily so. So the three possibilities, and there can only be three really, is you get a quick move back to the upside. What would be in favor of that? Well, the relative, although not absolute, steadiness of Wall Street that I've just mentioned. Another one would be a short-term oversold condition, because the overbought condition that I was mentioning earlier in the month has been replaced by a short-term oversold condition. And another reason and factor that could support that is the well-known one, that just the basic background of low interest rates and low inflation, modest growth, evidence of recovery, not much overheating, a few property sectors aside, and they certainly aren't in the OECD. So those factors could contribute to a firmer tone. On the side, then another possibility is the markets just don't do anything except range around for quite a lengthy period. And the odds of that actually happening are fairly good. There's a lot of uncertainty around. People know that monetary conditions are still unfavorable, but they have a lot of questions regarding the profits outlook overall. And where we were seeing good profit figures sort of from the second half of January onwards, shares have not been responding the way they were, for instance, earlier in the advance to these levels. And then the kerfuffle over the Democrats' plans and the UK government's and Bank of England's plans regarding windfall taxes, increased bonuses, restructuring the banking sector. That's all creating a fair amount of uncertainty and concern. So that could well keep markets locked in trading ranges for some time. And another factor that could contribute to that would be that the generally steady tone that we had seen involved very little downside move towards the rising mean in the form of those 200-day moving averages. Now, the third possibility is that we get a sharper, considerably sharper pullback than we have seen previously. And factors that could contribute to that would be the downward dynamics that we saw last week, particularly if those are if those lead to any follow-through of similar type of sharp downside reactions that quickly erodes support. The upward trends have lost upside momentum. We have seen some erosion of support where trading patterns had been primarily sideways, and we are still well above those rising 200-day moving averages for a good many of these stock markets. Now, which are we going to get? Well, I don't know. And I'm thinking out loud here with you, and no one else really knows either. We can only make a guess. But my hunch is that it will take some sort of special factor problem to cause a market to seriously underperform in here. We've seen that, for instance, over the last few months with Greece. And I don't need to elaborate on that story. For most of the European markets, however, for certainly for the bigger European markets, for Wall Street, for most of Asia, I don't think we see that type of risk. I don't think we see that type of risk in terms of monetary policy either. And we're not seeing overheating. Central banks are still going to be concerned about deflation. To the extent that they were worried about inflation, or we saw somewhat higher inflation as in the UK, for instance, okay, weak currency, energy prices moving up. And as I think I've said all along over the last year, that the pockets of inflation where we saw them were going to be in commodities. We've seen asset price inflation in stock markets. We've seen some inflation in costs coming from taxes, government services, that sort of thing. But we have very powerful deflationary forces at work in terms of wages, in terms of employment, in terms of manufactured goods, for the most part. And energy price inflation is on the back burner. That's not a problem. I say that's a colloquialism, but it's not a problem here today. And we have seen energy prices, crude oil specifically, come back from that sort of $84, $85, fallen back $10 from that level. So that's reduced that risk. Once the USDA report came out on the 12th of January with a surprise announcement that holdover stocks of grains and beans were higher than people had previously been expecting, that caused a quite sharp reaction in the grain and bean price. So we don't have food price inflation as far as those food staples are concerned. We do have it with a few isolated instances, of which sugar is the main one here right now. But that's unlikely to lead to the rioting in the streets that you can get around the world when we run out, or if we run out of soybeans or corn, that sort of thing, or rough rice. So the food price inflation is not a problem at this stage. So you net it all out, and I think probably the worst thing we're going to have in these stock markets is a bit more choppy activity, and we may get a little bit more mean reversion. We could see a downward bias for some markets, but not seriously so. My feeling is really that this is probably not going to be worse than some sort of medium-term correction phase within the overall upward trend. That's my best guess at this stage. Well, what about other markets? And in terms of long-dated government bonds, we don't have the inflationary pressures to push them up sharply. And they're probably the best barometer in terms of what's going to happen with inflation that we're going to get. In other words, okay, we get some commodity price inflation, but if we have some deflationary pressures in most other areas, that's not going to worry. Perhaps that won't worry the bond investors too much. But right now, we're not seeing signals of any sort of big move in that sector. We're range bound. And precious metals. Well, there's still some unanswered questions regarding this reaction and correction that we have seen. Gold is too close to last month's lows. to give a confirming signal that that was the low. I'm on record as stating earlier on that I did feel that we had seen the reaction low last month, but that low has not been fully tested, but we've seen a retracement of most of the gains that occurred subsequently and early in January. So basically, we still need a good signal to the upside in precious metals to reaffirm the December low, support from the December low with the gold price, and ditto silver. So that obviously hasn't happened yet. My hunch, though, is that these markets are back in a buying range, and there's more upside than downside at this stage. But I don't have technical confirmation of that yet, and I can't have we won't have technical confirmation until we see the buyers return in numbers. In industrial metals, the patterns are basically favorable overall, but they are prone to lengthy consolidations, lots of ranging. So what is a minor sin, it might feels like a big sin if you have to live through it, of ranging activity. I think that's possibly the worst outlook, or the most likely of the negative outlooks that we see for a number of these markets, is that they just sort of drift and range sideways for quite some time. And if that's the case, there'll be less opportunities for profit for sure. And I think we can see, we've seen enough evidence to say that the easy money in most stock markets at that period has ended for a while. I doubt very much that the cyclical bull market that we had been enjoying is completely over, for reasons that I've mentioned earlier in this broadcast. Okay. And what else? The currencies here. The dollar is mixed here overall. It's holding slightly above its range lows against some of the stronger Asian and resources currencies. It's firmer against others, such as the euro. But again, the pattern is dominated by this ranging activity. So we may well get more of the same. The eventual resolution will be something big. Large, lengthy ranging patterns usually produce some quite strong moves, up or down. So we have that to look forward to. Meanwhile, I think that's pretty much, I've gone on long enough. It's pretty much a wrap for today. So I'll just say all the best to all of you.